What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here. Thank you so much for joining back. I am joined today by the new head basketball coach, University of Cincinnati, Wes Miller. Wes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jamie. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Good, man. Thank you so much for coming. Let's jump right into it. You experienced incredible success in your 10 years as the head coach at Greensboro. You had three conference titles, two NCAA tournaments, 185 overall wins as the head coach there. Got to know, though, once you moved into Cincinnati, where was the first place you grabbed a meal at?
Well, first off, we experienced a lot of success. It wasn't just me. I had a lot of great players and great staff and great support from the university in our time at Greensboro. I'm really proud of what we all accomplished there. And I look forward to kind of looking back and watching that program accomplish bigger and better things and build upon what we did over the last 10 years. But first meal in Cincinnati, the people from Cincinnati want me to say Skyline Chili. That's a staple. I learned that quickly. Unfortunately, my first meals in Cincinnati were probably, the breakfast at the Residence Inn, because I was in a hotel for 3 months, and when you get an opportunity, when you get a new job, especially late in the spring like that, your hair is going to be on fire. And there was so much to do in such a short period of time. So that first 4 or 5 weeks feel like somewhat of a blur, looking back on it, but I did find a way in that first 2 weeks to get the Skyline Chili. So I did knock that off the list.
So for us that aren't, familiar with Cincinnati, tell us about Skyline Chili. What's the big to do about it, and how was it?
Well, one thing I've learned real quick in Cincinnati is, the people that live there that are from there have a ton of pride in being from the city of Cincinnati. It's one of the neatest things. There's an edge, it's a certain type of mentality, a culture in the city that I've really gravitated to. And then anytime you have a ton of pride, there's things that are unique to your city, right, or to your area. Skyline Chili is unique, right? Cincinnati Chili, you hear it with the noodles, right, and the chili and the cheese on top and all that kind of stuff. And Skyline is kind of the staple of Cincinnati Chili. So it's kind of its own unique thing. And I'd say if you come to Cincinnati, you have to go to Skyline. I've been there 3 or 4 times now.
100%. I'm going to hold you to that. So take me through the process of being the head coach at Greensboro and then to the head coach at Cincinnati. When were you first contacted about the job, and take us through that process?
Yeah, I was contacted, I don't have the exact dates, but I was contacted over text message by the athletic director, John Cunningham, on a Friday night, asking if, I had time to speak about the job. And I've said this publicly already. I think I was waiting for that text. It was a job that I always had a tremendous amount of interest in from a distance. Obviously, I didn't know a lot about it intimately because I'd never been in Cincinnati or been on campus, but just looked at the job as a distance as, one of the best basketball programs in the history of our game, the interest and, the fanfare, all that. It seemed like a place that would be really special to coach. So when John texted me, I responded right away. I'd like to think I responded as the text was coming through. We spoke by phone Saturday. We Zoomed on Sunday. And then they flew me up Tuesday for an in-person interview with him, our president. And then I believe it was Wednesday evening when I was offered the job and was flying up Thursday to meet with the team and did a press conference on Friday. It happened very, very quickly. And it's amazing how quickly life can change, especially in our profession.
Absolutely. And kind of expanding on that a little bit, you touched on it some, but playing at James Madison and then at UNC, assistant coach at Elon, High Point, head coach at Greensboro and stuff, what was it about Cincinnati that kind of drew you out of your familiar geographic region and take on the opportunity?
Yeah, I heard that all the time. Hey, you're a Southeastern guy, you're a North Carolina guy. And don't get it twisted here, Jamie. I'm really proud to be from North Carolina and spent the majority of my life in the state of North Carolina. I'm proud of that. I have a ton of pride personally. Just like the city that I'm living in now is a ton of pride. But I was never somebody that, didn't feel comfortable going to other areas. I went to prep school in New Hampshire for 3 years and had an unbelievable experience in my childhood doing that. I played in Europe over in England for a year after college and had a good experience doing that. So, you know, even though I'd spent the majority of my life in North Carolina, I never thought of myself as somebody that couldn't get out of my comfort zone and live in another area. For me, the job at Cincinnati was, you know, one of those jobs that moved me, you know, and I was just, listen, I've always wanted to coach somewhere where basketball really, really mattered, where there's a history and a tradition. And it had been important for generations and decade over decade. And Cincinnati's one of those programs. So that's what really interests me. Now, as I got into the interview process and learned a lot more about the job, the people that I'd be working for, the institution, that's when it became really real. But you always look around and you go, there's very few programs in college basketball where basketball is a really, really big deal. Where you say that's a basketball school, that's a basketball city. And so I knew that from a distance. I think everybody knows that about Cincinnati. But then as I found out some of the other stuff, it really felt right.
And then speaking on the history, Cincinnati does have a proud basketball history dating back to the 50s, Oscar Robertson. But more recently, Bob Huggins really took that thing and ran with it. Mick Cronin came at, and before UCLA, you know, 9 straight NCAA tournaments and all that type of stuff. First off, have you reached out to Bob or Mick to talk about the school and the program and there? And then secondly, what do you think your expectations are for this team coming off of the previous regime?
Yeah, the history is crazy. I mean, you think about back-to-back national championships in 61 and 62. And, you know, like, as you mentioned, Oscar Robertson, who that was the year after he graduated, they won the national championship. So think about how good they were when one of the greatest players in the history of our game graduates and they still win it, you know, the next year. So, yeah, the tradition is – or the history is incredible, you know, going back 60-plus years. But I grew up watching – the Coach Huggins teams that, you know, when I grew up or when I think about Cincinnati basketball, that's my first memory of Cincinnati basketball is, you know, like Nick Van Exel, right? Or that team with Kenyon Martin that was number one team in the country all year before he broke his leg. You know, I vividly remember that as a young person, being inspired by those teams and the way that they played. When I first got, and then obviously I, been in coaching now for well over a decade and watched Coach Cronin's teams from a distance and always had so much respect for the way they played, how tough and competitive they were and the type of coach that Coach Cronin is. So the night I got the job, I reached out to Coach Cronin that night. I was able to track his number down the night that I accepted the job. Interestingly enough, this was really neat. He had already texted me. I didn't realize that when I called him because I had so many text messages. It took days to get through them. But I realized that he had texted me when the news hit that I got the job. But I got his number, reached out, and we talked for 2 hours on the phone that night, which I thought was really neat and says a lot about him and how much he cares about UC and about Cincinnati because he's born, raised, went to school at UC and that type of thing. It took me a little bit longer to track down Coach Huggins' number, but I think the following day, I left a message for Coach Huggins and it took a couple weeks for him and I to connect, but we did. He's been incredible. I actually went to a fundraiser that he hosted in, Cincinnati back in June and really enjoyed my interaction with him. So, you know, guys like that are absolute legends, titans in our game. And to be coaching somewhere where guys like that coached, number one, I think they deserve my respect in the position that I'm in. I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the opportunity if it wasn't for Coach Cronin, Coach Huggins, and the others that came before them. But number two, I want their counsel and their advice. They know what it takes to be really successful, and they've both been really gracious to talk to me and to give me some thoughts, and have both mentioned that, you know, I'm welcome to call them and interact with them at any point.
And that's always great to have that type of thing to fall back on. But what are your impressions of the roster that both you took on and that you've put together since taking the job? What are your impressions of the roster that you got?
You know, I'm excited about our team. You know, I said this to the guys the first day I met with them. We want to start with the guys that are already in the program. You know, now we need to get together and meet individually and talk, because we got to find out quickly who's really going to stay, who's going to be 2 feet in. Mm-hmm. But I want to figure out who's going to be 2 feet in within this locker room, and then we can build around that. And I made that really clear. And, you know, six of them, and it wasn't all of them at the same time. There were a couple of them that went in the portal, but six of them decided to be 2 feet in with us. And I thought it was one heck of a nucleus. We have, I wouldn't say the most experienced returning group in college basketball, but we have returners with experience. We have ball handling and guard play and playmaking, you know, some toughness. And then, you know, I think as we looked at that initial roster or that initial group that kind of decided to come back with me, we realized we had a couple things that we had to address. And one was our front court, and we needed some depth and some impact in the front court right away. And we needed some more size and athleticism on the wing. And as you look at what we were able to add, with Hayden Koval and Abdul Otto from Mississippi State and Odie Iguama from Wake Forest, you know, we were able to address that front court right away with three guys that have a ton of experience in college basketball and we think fit what we're trying to do and what we're about. And then John Newman from Clemson addresses that big perimeter guard that can defend and gives us a little bit more depth there, because that was an area that we were lacking. And then I thought, you know, Jared Hensley and A.J. McGinnis, you know, are able to kind of bring depth on the perimeter at the four position with Jared. And like I just said, on the perimeter in the backcourt with A.J. and in terms of shooting and scoring and guys that I coached for a year, I know what they're about on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I felt really good about the nucleus that stayed, and I feel really good about what we added. And now it's not about who came and who stayed. It's about a group of guys that had a really good summer and had a really good 9 weeks, or really we worked eight of the nine together in terms of players and coaches, but had a really good 8 to 9 weeks together working. And we got to try to come out and surprise people this year, because I don't think people expect a lot of us, but I do think we can have a really, really competitive basketball team.
And then June and July, D1 coaches were able to get back out on the road, live recruit for the first time in 18 months. How did it feel to get back out, first of all? And then secondly, you know, with a new program, new roster, what was kind of your plan of attack when getting out there?
Well, it was great. It was great to see kids live. I love evaluating. I really enjoy recruiting. And to do it over a computer screen like you and I are talking just wasn't the same. You know, your juices didn't get flowing quite as much. So to get out there and see guys live and evaluate the stuff beyond basketball that was so hard to see on tape, you know, facial reactions, body language, how people interact with their teammates and their coaches, you know, how hard they take winning or losing, you know, like that kind of stuff we really value. And to be able to actually see that up close and personal, that was neat again. It was awesome to get back out, get back to business on the road recruiting. You know, our approach is what it's always been. We want to work as hard as we possibly can to make sure that the guys that we prioritize see us and know that we're there, and know that we're not just telling them we're recruiting them, we're showing them that with their actions. I think when you've been sidelined for 15 months or so in recruiting, you know, you do want to get out and see a lot of guys and really, really try to evaluate. So we tried to cover a lot of ground as a staff and evaluate as well. But I thought it was a really good, really good summer for us. We covered a ton of ground. I think we're recruiting some great players, and I'm looking forward to the future of Bearcat basketball.
So it's no secret how close you are with Roy Williams, who maybe unexpectedly for some people kind of stepped down after the last season. What legacy do you think he leaves on the game of basketball?
That's a loaded question there, Jamie. I was actually fortunate to spend the last couple of days with him at a golf outing with some other former players and some former coaches. So I to think of him as being retired, I don't know if I've allowed my brain to even go there yet. You know, he's still my coach and the guy that I think – when I think of a basketball coach, that's the first person I think of. So I don't know if I'm capable of – doing him justice to say what his legacy is, but what I will say is I think he's one of the the greatest coaches that we've ever seen in the history of sports in this country, not just college basketball. You know, his ability to run a program in every sense of the word, to get a team to come together and play together as a team. It sounds cliche, but he's one of the best I ever saw. The idea of, or creating the idea of team in a locker room and on a basketball court. And I think the way that he did it with integrity. He did it the right way. And then finally, it was always about way more than basketball with Coach. I mean, it was about the people that he was interacting with. And he was a role model, a mentor, a father figure to some. And look, I mean, hey, I sat in his office as a youngster. He was recruiting me to come there as a invited walk-on and promised me that he'd help me get into coaching. And I'm spending the last 2 days with him when I'm 38 years old talking about what I'm doing at Cincinnati as the head coach. I mean, the guy just lives by his word. So I don't know what his legacy will be long-term, but I can tell you that those of us that know him well and played for him, you know that he's one of the greatest coaches to ever coach this game or any sport, but also that he was real and genuine and cared a lot more about some of the other stuff beyond basketball than he even did about winning. He's a pretty darn competitive dude. So I'm not sure what his legacy would be, but I can't imagine anybody doing it better than Coach Williams.
And the last thing here for me, as you start off with practices and you're able to, you know, kind of see the kids, coach the kids and do all this type of stuff, what type of identity are you trying to build for the program at Cincinnati?
We're going to play hard. We're going to play with edge. You know, I think that's one of the reasons that the job was so appealing to me. Jamie was, you know, our teams at Greensboro played with an edge. You could always, you know, we wanted you to be able to feel that by the way that we guarded you, by the way that we got to loose balls or some of the things that, you know, give a team extra possessions. We wanted to be a little nasty in how we did it. And I mean that in a good way, in terms of we were willing to dive on the floor. We were willing to hustle to keep a ball alive on the offensive board. I think Cincinnati basketball has been about that for a long time. And I think we want to be about that moving forward here. We want to play with pace. So I think we want to get up and down the floor and play in the open floor and play an exciting brand of basketball. We want to let guys play, Gene. I mean, I don't want talented guys looking over their shoulder when they make mistakes. I want guys to play through mistakes and play with confidence and just give it to us on the other end. But we want to build a tough, gritty, competitive team with an edge. And when you play against Cincinnati, you're going to feel it the next day, that type of thing. Obviously, you know, we're one of the greatest programs in the history of our game. We expect to compete with everybody in college basketball and compete to go to the NCAA tournament every year, to advance in the NCAA tournament year, to go to Sweet 16s and Final Fours, and hopefully compete for national championships. And so that's all the stuff in our future, but you can't bypass the process of what it takes to get there. It's got to be a day by day and step by step thing. And we plan on doing that with how we approach it every day.
Awesome. Wes, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it. And good luck this season.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jamie.